For WBAI in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Today, the New York City Council heard testimony on a resolution in solidarity with members of the Writers Guild of America, which is united with the Screen Actors Guild in demanding fair wages, tighter regulations, and safeguards. The City Council's Committee on Civil Service and Labor put forth a resolution calling on the AMPTP, the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers, to engage in good faith negotiations, resulting in a fair contract for all members. The committee also expressed unwavering support of striking SAG-AFTRA members in their pursuit of a fair and just contract. Vincent Alvarez is president of the New York City Central Labor Council. He was questioned by City Council member Carmen De La Rosa.
Vinny Alvarez, the prolonged production shutdown threatens to cost New York City tens of thousands of jobs this fall. The entertainment industry employed 101,000 people in New York City last year. What is the strike's economic impact on the city?
Well, look, I think when you look at economic impact, it's true. You can look at the statistics that you just pointed to and the loss of the jobs and the loss of economic impact. But I think you also have to look at what is the economic impact on these writers and these actors if they don't take a principled stand to defend the jobs and defend the livelihoods as they know them. What happens when even more actors can't access affordable health insurance through their union? What happens and what's the economic impact if writers can't pay their rent due to a lack of work? What happens to our economy when these artists can't rely on the residuals that take them between jobs? And what happens to not only our city's economy and the entertainment sector, but other industries too, when artists and other workers are replaced by AI and thousands of workers are no longer needed. So I think we have to take the long view here as well when we're looking at this specific sectors, at these two sectors and these two strikes, and understand that there's an economic impact certainly with this strike, but that these issues that they extend just beyond these two disputes too. So, and I would approach it and ask you all to think about it from that perspective as well.
Vinny Alvarez, and you're listening to WBAI New York, a special on a New York City Council hearing into a resolution of the SAG-AFTRA Writers Guild strike. Next, we hear a panel call to testify with SAG-AFTRA New York Local President Ezra Knight, Rebecca Damon, Vice President SAG-AFTRA, and we begin with Fran Drescher, SAG-AFTRA President.
You may begin when ready.
Now? You'll be sorry. Okay. Well, hi, I'm Fran Drescher, and I'm the president of SAG-AFTRA, and I want to thank you all for allowing me this opportunity to speak to you today. As you can tell from my mellifluous accent, I am a New Yorker born and raised. As a kid back in Flushing, Queens, I always dreamt of becoming a professional actor and becoming a member of the Screen Actors Guild to be a part of the show business community and make a career out of my craft and my God-given talent was my ambition. But I never imagined that show business, which was so romanticized in the old movies of the 30s and 40s, would in 2023 become a soulless business of greed and disrespect for the performing artist. The AMPTP has so radically changed the business model that a new structure of the contract is demanded. We can no longer live on the old residual model, yet we were stonewalled when we said that we have to follow the money in the new model. How is anybody going to make their medical coverage when they are making two-thirds less residuals with this new business model? The answer is they can't. How are working people supposed to make a living on two-thirds less opportunities to make residuals? How can they think we can accept minimums, which is the equivalent of minimum wage out in the real world? How could they think that we're going to accept their final offer on minimums that in real money is less than 2020? And they want us to take that all the way to 2026? We must catch up with inflation. And where do they have the audacity to want a background performer to get paid for one day, get their likeness scanned, and then they own it in perpetuity? What is going to happen to that worker? We stand on the front line of a workers' movement. This is happening all over and everywhere. I was in my neighborhood back in Los Angeles, and there was a little box floating around, rolling around, making deliveries. And I thought, that used to be a human being on a bicycle. What happened to that person? They are out of a job. We cannot allow big business greed to take away our careers, to take away our livelihoods. The buck stops here. We are at a very serious crossroads. This is a righteous fight, and they are on the wrong side of history. The AMPTP's maniacal corporate culture for greed must stop. Industry profit and doing the right thing on behalf of workers does not have to be mutually exclusive, but go hand in hand as we define the new meaning for success. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, what up?
I'm on? Yeah. I'd like to thank the City Council and the committee for having us here. It's an honor. My name is Ezra Knight. I am a professional actor. New York City is my home. I'm a proud longtime resident of Harlem. I've been able to raise two daughters in New York City working in this incredible profession that I love thanks to good union jobs. I have had and I am a proud union performer, and that is how I pay my bills, how I put bacon on the table, turkey bacon on the table. Get a little healthier here. And how I earn health coverage for my family and myself. It's how I earn a pension so I can save for retirement, and how I live a decent middle-class life in the Big Apple. But the possibility of making a good middle-class living as a journeyman actor in New York City is being snatched away by the greedy corporations who don't see actors as the assets that we are, because they can only see their bottom line. You hear a repeating theme here. Good union jobs treat workers with respect and see them as people with agency. The AMPTP doesn't want to talk to us about sharing the profits of streaming or about putting real fences around the use of AI in order to allow performers to say how their likenesses will be used without diminishing the number of jobs available. The AMPTP corporations have no interest in showing their workers any respect. I'm here today as a member also of the SAG-AFTRA TV Theatrical Negotiating Committee, who worked on this contract and these negotiations. I speak to you on behalf also of my fellow union members and alongside our siblings in the WGA. We are all in a righteous life or death fight for a fair contract, which at this moment is nothing less than an existential battle for our place in the future of this industry. We want the AMPTP to hear us loud and clear. Ours is part of an international struggle for fair compensation, of respect for labor. Our support comes from the audiences who are moved by the stories we tell, moved to tears, to laughter, We feel our art is important and a necessary element of a society's healthy existence. Our support comes from our fellow members. It comes from our sibling unions who've shown us incredible solidarity throughout these strikes. And it comes from you at City Hall. And this is why we will continue to fight the good fight. We will continue to make our voices heard loud and clear. We will not lose resolve, knowing, again, that we are on the right side of history. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can hear the applause behind me for these two speakers. Hi there, I'm Rebecca Damon. I'm the Executive Director of SAG-AFTRA New York for Labor Policy and International Affairs, and it is an honor and privilege to be here today with this historic, and we like the word historic in SAG-AFTRA, this historic first-time female majority-led council. It is, yeah, that people can't help the woo on that one. Being here today with the Committee on Civil Service and Labor, with Council Members Carmen, Amanda, and all of you, it is like, for me, coming home. This council has stood up for the workers in New York City time and time again, and never more so than today and in this hot labor summer that we're all having. I want to thank you for this resolution expressing the unwavering support for in our pursuit for a fair and just contract. We are grateful to this body because it has been a supporter of these good union jobs created by the robust film, television, and streaming production sector. And I appreciate the opportunity to give folks in this room and across the city some context on what that looks like. SAG-AFTRA's TV theatrical streaming contracts cover over 200,000 jobs a year for New York performers. That work translates in approximately $500 million a year in covered earnings for New York performers and makes New York City the second largest global production hub for SAG-AFTRA covered entertainment after Los Angeles. A recent study conducted by the Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment found that the entire film and television industry in New York City is responsible for over $18 billion a year in total wages and over $80 billion in total economic output for the city. New York is also home to the two main exchanges where these two media conglomerates are traded. Stocks that in aggregate reflect a total market capitalization over $600 billion. So these studio segments of these media conglomerates are booking annual revenues of over $120 billion as they generate work using our members and the members of the WGA's work and netting profits of over $12 billion a year. These are really fantastic numbers, and I'm so grateful to see them, but you would think that that wave of success could be shared by the workers in these industries. The AMPTP corporations have changed course without bringing their workers along for the ride. We know that this body understands the contribution of our 36,000 New York members and our 160,000 members across this nation and around the world. But the cultural effect on this great city and the support that you are showing for SAG-AFTRA members in this fight to get working people across that their city and their contributions matter is valued today. And on behalf of SAG-AFTRA, we thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your testimony. We do have some questions. I'll start off by asking, in 2021, SAG-AFTRA actors made a median salary income of $46,960, which is far below the median U.S. median income. A lot of people were shocked by that number. What retirement plans are available for those actors? What retirement benefits is SAG-AFTRA fighting for? And can we talk a little bit about, you know, people usually think actors, A-list actors, they're making millions and millions of dollars. Can you talk about those workers that are directly living in this reality?
Here we go. I just want to say that when we look at an average salary, that's incorporating a lot of very high salaries that are in the one percentile. I just want to put it back into the proper perspective that 86% of our members cannot even meet the $26,500 threshold that would make them eligible for their medical coverage. So 86% is not even making 26.5. So the medium is misleading because it incorporates a very small percentile of very high-earning performers who actually become the engine that makes everything run. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. We're fighting for those people, that 86%. And those are the people that bring every scene we see to life. Every piece of entertainment that we see on the big screen or on the television screen is maybe has one star in it, and then everybody else is virtually unknown. But they are the edges of life. We are the foundation of this industry. We are the center of the wheel. They cannot do it without us. And the mentality to think that they have to step on us, screw us, compromise us, instead of respect us, honor us, and say, thank you, we're in it together, shows a kind of leadership that is no longer acceptable in this moment.
Thank you so much for those comments. It also speaks to income inequality and why that gap continues to widen in our city. We know that the cost of living in our city is sky high, and we know that communities are being priced out. I want to talk a little bit to AMPTP's rejection of SAG-AFTRA's proposal to implement guidelines around the use of artificial intelligence. We heard a little bit about it in your testimonies. But why are those safeguards around AI so crucial in this fight for your members?
I'd say it's an existential reality. We are aware that AI is something that's been created. We're not denying that fact. We're not eliminating AI. It's not the goal. It's to acknowledge its existence, to put fences around it that are respectful for our members, to see its place and its potential in the creative space that's going to be beneficial to us as opposed to the pattern. It's the pattern that we question that's been so repetitively disadvantageous to us as performers and members. So we see it as this new bastion, and part of the questions around it, it seems to be taken as an opportunity to abuse those privileges and those and that power to the disadvantage of us. So it's something that we take very, very seriously, and I think we've all kind of spoken to it in a way, because that's the new terrain that's going to affect everyone all over the planet, but certainly in our industry, it's a very, very large harbinger of what's to come and what's to protect.
I would simply add that there are two principles of compensation and consent. People should be able to control an actual meaningful consent around their voices, their images, and likenesses. Unfortunately, this industry has fought in that space. They fought us in Albany. They fought us in Sacramento. There is a prevalence of not thinking that people should have that sort of creative control, that sort of control over the destiny of their own persona. And the other key piece is compensation. And that, for us, is a key issue that must be acknowledged in this negotiation.
It seems to me that there's an opportunity here, given that AI isn't going anywhere and that we have to get used to this new reality, for a framework to be developed, given that you all are back at the negotiating table again in 3 years. Can you speak to what that framework should look like?
SAG-AFTRA has been involved in something called the Human Artistry Campaign, and that campaign has to do with the entertainment industry, but also deals with the music industry as well. You can look at Human Artistry, the website, to go through the principles. Those principles are very similar to the things that we're looking for in negotiations. If you look at the fact at how much technology has progressed, and SAG-AFTRA as a union has been on the forefront of addressing technology at every turn along the way, whether that's all the way back to the silent pictures when people talked about the talkies, or now. Our national board firmly understands the change in technology, but also doesn't want to put our heads in the sand around these topics. The technology is moving at a pace that what was issues at the day that they began negotiations, the technology has already evolved. So the idea that we would wait for some period of time, for some 3 years, in order to address these issues, whether that's us or the WGA, that is wholly unacceptable.
Thank you.
I just want to say that when we, I feel like we're at an inflection point here. Just because there are people in Silicon Valley that can, has a kind of a brain that can come up with something, doesn't mean that it's necessarily good to use or incorporate in anybody's business or lives. If there's no empathy that comes along with invention, then we are barreling into a world that I personally don't want to experience. Everybody owes it to each other as human beings to think about what the consequence of something may be in the long run, to look down the line. Indigenous people look at 7 generations, but in our society, where the bottom line is the bottom line, nobody is concerned about how their invention is going to impact people, planet, and other life on this planet. We are really fast moving into an insane reality. So I do not accept that we have to accept anything. We have to start questioning everything. And if somebody comes up with something that seems like it's a good idea on the surface, if you don't dig deeper than that, then get out of my way, please.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. It's okay, it's okay. We allow a little rule breaking here. Okay. So we're going to pass it on to the colleagues who have some questions. Councilmember Botcher, followed by Councilmember Farias.
Thank you so much for being here today. I want to give a special shout out to Rebecca Damon, who's been so communicative and just excellent through this process. And of course, you, President Knight and President Drescher. President Drescher, I represent the neighborhoods of the Village, Chelsea, and Hell's Kitchen, Midtown. Lots of actors.
Them's are my peeps.
Lots of writers. And one thing that they've been complaining to me about, especially since the pandemic started, was self-tape auditions, where an actor has to tape their own, perform a scene, tape it, send it in. Could you tell the public why those are problematic and how that's factoring into your negotiations?
That is a very big part of our proposal package. There's a whole section, and we have experts as part of our negotiating committee that have spent a very long amount of time working on this and on the boots on the ground, speaking to our members about the problems that this poses. And this is something that really kind of birthed out of the COVID crisis when people weren't going into offices. But then as per usual, it seemed like, well, if they're willing to do a self-tape audition, we won't have to get offices. We won't have to pay rent. We won't have to sit there and watch all of them. They can just send in all of their videos. And this creates a massive problem because my job is not to be a tech specialist, particularly with our older members that are not tech savvy at all. I mean, I don't want to generalize, but this is what I'm hearing, that community has a lot of complaints about that. And there is an impersonalness about trying to put something on tape when in the past we would walk into a room and we could have a conversation and it was human. We would engage another human being. That has all gone away. Also, the demands have become greater and greater. Do this, do that. Can you do it in this dialogue? Can you do it, you know, can you do 12 pages? Can you memorize it? Can you do it in 2 different accents? And it's like, it's gone so far in the wrong direction that it has to have, again, just like with AI, barricades put around it, and there has to be a happy medium, or we want to get paid for it.
Thank you.
Councilmember Farias.
Thank you so much. I just have a question about what do you think about the AMPTP's role should be in addressing the discrepancies between these multi-billion dollar streaming services and the actors who help generate these profits? I'm hearing a lot of different things around how we continuously are the ones generating the profits and moving the items forward, but obviously we're not seeing it back, and that is the gist of the fight here. And I just want to hear your thoughts, if possible.
Well, they're both looking at me, so I'll speak. I think that there is that they are profit-making machines, but when the success is of the CEO is completely tied in with the success that he generates on Wall Street by 400% bonuses. Some of them make $78,000 a day and are accusing us of being unrealistic in our asks.
Right.
Talk about tone deaf. So there is obviously money there, but there is this culture, this greed-based corporate culture to try and squeeze us out of every last nickel so that it can show as more profit in the minds of the shareholders. The whole culture is what needs to change because we're too foundational to their business model. It's completely counterintuitive to try and screw those that are the foundation of your business model. Yeah. We're not grapefruits growing in an orchard. We're people. We are artists. We make massive contributions to this industry. We have to be thought of as a partner. I'm not counting your shekels, but cut me in, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I have an additional thought. I just last night, not to be too tangential here, it's actually on point, I was watching Air about Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. And the gumption of him, his family, to ask for a percentage of each sneaker sold with his name on it was unthinkable. It was unrealistic. It wasn't how the business model worked. It wasn't how the profit system conducted itself. But the ask and the bold, courageous move to ask for that and to actually get it, we're Michael Jordan. It is our name, our face, our likenesses on these products. We should get a percentage of that. One of Fran's biggest heroic asks was about the streaming sharing profit system that we should be a part of. We should have a piece of the successful streaming content that airs, and we should have a part of that cut because it's there to be had.
So, revenue sharing.
Revenue sharing.
Thank of you, subscription.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I appreciate your responses. I do think like this is just so reminiscent of every single union fight that we have. It's capitalism at its finest. You have someone that doesn't want to really break down their shares and wants to keep having more shares. So I appreciate all of you being with us and testifying today.
Yeah, there's such a thing as conscious capitalism, and that's what capitalism has to mature into. Otherwise, it's going to self-destruct because it's unsustainable the way it is now.
100%. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much to this panel.
Thank you.
Are we excused?
Yes.
You've been listening to testimony at the New York City Council's Committee on Civil Service and Labor on a resolution calling on the AMPTP, the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers, to engage in good faith negotiations resulting in a fair contract for all members, as well as a resolution from the committee expressing unwavering support of striking SAG-AFTRA members and the importance of the industry to New York City workers and to the city itself. This is listener-sponsored WBAI New York.